A character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
I just wanna listen.
As my world turns, the heart beats. Not only in my chest, but the heart in the street. So when they feel this, they feel me. But I can't feel nothing outside these Dre beats. I am from the city of evil, came from the bottom. Standing on top, I was supposed to be my coffin. What's up? Inception shows me as a dead man walking. But reflection shows this kid still got it. Let it be known I got the throne like I don't know that there's a king. Never grew up around a family cause I'm not a human being. And anyone on my level that's coming in my
spot. Hey, welcome back,
time.
Everyone. The annual Stunt Granny WrestleMania preview shows. This is the first one. If you already clicked on it, you know this is going to be Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus, kind of a revisitation of last year. Joining me, as always, is Mr. Kevin. What's going on, man?
Not too much. As we were discussing right before we came on air, I'm hoping that your boys in red and white pull out a win for the Penguins here to allow them to catch up to the New York Rangers.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know, whatever. They can do it on their own when they play head-to-head, so.
Yeah.
They always got that in the back pocket.
Well, yeah, well, we can talk about that later on the roundup to let everyone know who won or not. but we're actually going to, you know, for those who have listened the last 4 years, I think it is now. I think this is year four.
Sure.
Yeah, Kevin and I go over each WrestleMania match one by one. These are short, quick-hitter audios, as we like to call them. At least we try to make them quick hitters. Number two is probably going to be a real quick one.
Yeah,
but
it always depends upon the importance of the match. It tends to lengthen and or shorten.
Yep, it sure does.
That audio.
But yeah, so how the schedule works is one will be posted in the morning, one will be posted at night. I think there's 10 audios this year, unless they somehow add another match to WrestleMania. So it'll start on, well, as you've probably found out, Monday. Monday morning, this is going to be posted. Then Wednesday, Monday afternoon, the next one, and so on, all the way till Friday, and then a roundup on Saturday or something like that. So, and there are also, I think there's going to be a Hall of Fame audio, which I think will be posted actually to kick off our WrestleMania week here on Stunt Granny. So, but yeah, whatever. Let's talk about Daniel Bryan and Sheamus.
Sure, let's do it.
This was supposed to be on last year's card, and it got bumped from the entire event. Well, not the entire event, but it got bumped from the pay-per-view in favor of a dark match where it didn't really end. It just kind of merged into a battle royal, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah, that was what happened.
Yeah, because I remember we were all looking around, and my phone was dead, and none of us could check out to find out why this was starting before the 7 o'clock start time. And then over the year, Daniel Bryan was the face, wasn't he, last year?
Yes, he was. I mean, hell, he didn't turn heel until, what, 2 months ago, really? 3 months ago?
Okay. Yeah, just trying to make sure we get all this in perspective. And Sheamus was the heel that really just kind of, you know, fell off the map.
Yes, he had. I mean, because, and that's, I keep on mentioning, I guess, in general, it seems like, you know, they're setting up Sheamus for the big win at WrestleMania. So I'm kind of hoping that, Daniel Bryan does not experience, let's just say, I know we're not getting to this, tonight, but, let's say the Miz drop-off level.
Yeah, yeah. The Miz will probably be safe for the roundup show since he doesn't have anything going on. But, since he actually went with that, all right, as everyone knows, Bryan won the Money in the Bank match, cashed it in, beat Big Show, has held it ever since. And only just recently has really kind of showed, not a dominant champion, but he's at least winning his matches. I mean, he beat Zack Ryder pretty handily on Raw.
Yes, he did. And that was exactly what the doctor called for.
Yeah.
Especially with the number of you know, cheap wins that he's gotten. You know, it certainly helped to finally get a legit win.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, he's had good matches. His pay-per-view matches, and especially with Mark Henry and the Big Show, they're always cop-out wins, which they kind of had to be. I mean, there was such a size mismatch that no one was taking him serious. So they finally move him away from those guys, and you can get him clean wins or whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
He's in there with those kind of behemoths, it's just like, you picked a really, really bad time to try and... you know, change this guy to heel.
Right. Oh, they picked a bad time, but then they picked bad opponents at the time too. Because I don't think that they expected Mark Henry to be as serviceable, if you want to put it that way, as he was.
Oh,
so they were
right.
Kind of just stuck, you know. They also added the element of AJ to the mix as well. So you've got. It's, and to me, it's allowed Daniel Bryan to show a manipulative side that kind of, you know, it really kind of teeters. It gives him something to feed off of instead of just, you know, I'm the cocky champion that constantly yells yes, but I'm also the chicken shit behind it. It's given him a sense of evil, if you want to put it in like just dramatic terms like that.
Right.
And, you know, really, that's kind of what started the whole real big Daniel Bryan turn with Big Show and all that. But it's just funny how this match, and I keep going back to it, this match was scheduled for a U.S. title, I believe, wasn't it?
Oh,
he was U.S. champion, I believe.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. It's just funny how they got bumped last year, and now they're one of the main events. I mean, you know, being a title match, you're obviously considered a main event, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the top four, you know, matches. I mean, this year is just strange in general that neither of the title matches are important. You know, they've had so much riding on Undertaker in either Triple H or Shawn Michaels the last three years, that, you know, sometimes it's the matches, the main events have been secondary. But even last year, since The Rock was involved with The Miz and John Cena, that was still, you know, it was a title match that still, you know, was the main event.
Right. Yeah. It's also curious. I lost train of thought on that, actually. I think I had a good point, but apparently not if it just totally washed away that way. But how do you see this working out? Because last year it was first and got bumped. And I was talking to Eric, and I think Dusty and I started touching on this on Stunker and the Audio 180. This match kind of seems destined to be the first match, though. I mean, I know we just went through all this about the main event, but then also you know, pointing out that the title matches don't matter much, this almost seems destined to be the first match again.
Well, it is funny that you happen to say destined, because there was a certain someone last year who had his destiny to win the title, and he also went first in the lineup along with Mr. Edge, one of the inductees.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the SmackDown title, so it's secondary. It should get the crowd fired up because both of the guys can work. So there's no reason that it shouldn't be there's no reason it can't be the opener.
Yeah, and I'm glad you pointed out that Alberto Del Rio last year winning the Rumble and being the first match, which we were all kind of surprised last year that WrestleMania started with Edge and Alberto, but, you know, it made sense in the long run.
Yes, it did.
But, yeah, I mean, I think having someone... Like, I don't think you can start with Kane and Randy Orton. I don't think that's a good enough match to start a WrestleMania with. It's kind of a meaningless match. It doesn't make sense. And you definitely can't start with CM Punk and Jericho.
Right, and well, I mean, you could start with them, but with comparing it to the Orton and Kane, is they wouldn't their match is going to be slower, than Sheamus and Daniel Bryan. Both those guys can fly around the ring. Like, even though Orton and Sheamus are probably comparable in size for the most part, you know, Sheamus has a lot more movement in his matches than Randy Orton does, because, you know, just walking around somebody and stomping them in various body parts does not exactly lead to exciting offense.
Right. Well, we'll save that for later. But yeah, I mean, so it just seems like this is the only natural fit to be number one on the card. You've got the instant pop with Sheamus, and then you've got, probably, since it's a WrestleMania crowd, the instant pop with Daniel Bryan coming out, too. I think there's going to be a strong contingency of fans that are going to cheer for Daniel Bryan. I guess, safe to say.
Yeah, because, I mean, the WrestleMania crowd, and I think we pointed this out last year, because there are so many people there, there tend to be more of the geek squad there than your normal crew. So people that are enjoying anyone's heel work tend to get more recognition at WrestleMania than they would at any other event. Like, I don't even care if it's you know, Survivor Series or SummerSlam. Like, even one of the other big three, you know, they're not in event. Well, and that's the other thing that changes things a lot, is the venue is always so much larger.
Right. And this is an outdoor venue this year, again.
Right.
We're going back to that again. So, yeah, and do you... All right, this is kind of when you brought up The Miz. I was going to start with this, but I wanted to go in a different direction first.
Okay.
Dusty and I mentioned this on 180 as well. We were talking about The Miz and how he brought up the free fall and brought up this. And they also... It almost seems like this may be a prime spot for The Miz to interfere in a match. May not make sense. And they may have to be explained on SmackDown or something. But it almost seems like this is the kind of match where his interference would be expected. Because he's had an issue with Daniel Bryan in the past, but then all of a sudden came out and made up for it. And then you could play the jealousy card with Miz and Sheamus. But as Dusty pointed out, and I just remembered this... that Sheamus has already beaten The Miz, I think, just on Raw. I think it was this week. Last week?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was this week, actually, because they keep on giving... Since Sheamus went through all of the opponents that are like, oh, wow, he had an impressive win on SmackDown. Like, he's mowed through all those guys. So, you know, the guys that have been kind of more just solid property of Raw are in the way right now, and The Miz is one of those guys.
Yeah. So I guess you could come up with a jealousy angle, or him being mad at Daniel Bryan for him being his mentor.
Oh, right.
And costing the match, or being mad at Sheamus because you cost him, you know, his last opportunity. I'm not saying it's a good example or a good reasoning, but at least it's a reason.
Oh, right.
Because you can't just leave Miz off the card. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, it's either that or he still gets stuck onto Team Johnny. And I guess
as of this recording, there's only one guy open on that, unless he joins Team Teddy for some inexplicable reason.
Oh. Okay. No, I guess I didn't realize that there was only one spot open. I honestly just was not paying attention to, you know, I know I've heard names, but I was not doing the math.
Yeah. I mean, unless they're doing this because it's just obvious that he'll be on it, but we'll get to that later. I don't know. I guess, you know, we're almost at the 15-minute mark. Like we said, these are quick hitters, just a little preview. Real quick, before we get to the predictions part, which we do at the end of each one of these, you think AJ does anything in this match besides just be the person in the way? Is this have they sufficiently built it up to where she could rebel against Daniel Bryan, or, you know, kind of embrace the way he does things? Because they've made a record on SmackDown. She's beaten both of the Bella twins, which I've spoilers. It wouldn't be a spoiler by now, but for you. He helps her beat, you know, both Bellas now. So she's winning. And apparently she gets a title shot, I guess.
Oh, jeez.
So wouldn't that be, like, kind of... Like, she just kind of mopes around. And even Elise mentions that bitch just stands there. She doesn't do anything.
Yeah, well, that's always kind of the weird part of a heel female manager. She's not the mouthpiece like Vicky Guerrero. And she's not quite, even though he's kind of moved in that direction, she's not quite the abused girlfriend.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, it. I don't want to say it's to the shit or get off the pot point, but they really, if you want to have a big moment, this WrestleMania is always a good time to do it.
Yeah, it almost seems like, you know, it's that time for something to give her some personality besides the cute little girl that just stands there. Because I mean, they already had Daniel Bryan in the really backhanded sort of way. He goes, "Wow, that dress looks so much better on the mannequin." And you know, helping her out so he can take credit for her wins. And he gets in the ring and does the yes, yes in front of her. And Michael Cole even said something a while back saying, you know, he's just using you and you're too stupid to see it. Or he's just manipulating you. That was it.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, could they finally kind of put that little wedge there and exploit it? I don't know.
I would be fine if they went either way. I mean, to me, it would be much more fun if she went heel, all in on in the heel department.
I think so, too. I think so.
Exactly. And you were right. Like, thinking back on it, just when I was at SmackDown there last week, Daniel Bryan came down for commentary, and she just stood there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just like... Like, you didn't even notice that she was really there, in a way.
Yeah, it kind of makes her like a dream woman, actually. It's nice. But let's get into prediction time. I'll let you go first this one, and then I'll go first next time.
Okie doke. I'm going to stick with the prediction that I'm going with on my Definitely Live and half-assed review of Raw, is that they have been, they as in the announcers, both Mitchell Kuhl and Jerry Lawler, have been, along with actually Booker T and Josh Matthews, have been way too far on the side of Sheamus. Unless it's one of the few things that the WWE has ever done its existence to not point out the obvious. I just feel like they're trying to make you think that Sheamus wins no matter what. So to me, that means that Sheamus is losing. So I'm going to go with Daniel Bryan for the win.
All right. See, I'm trying to figure out if this is the first match of the show, you kind of want to get things off to a good start. So if it is the first match of the show, Sheamus wins. And Daniel Bryan will blame AJ for it somehow. If it's not the first match of the show, I'm going to go with Daniel Bryan. There's a lot of face-face matchups here, so let's go with Daniel Bryan. What the hell? And if we're wrong, I don't care. So come on back later this afternoon.
As the Tuesday morning quarterback would say, if we're wrong, all your money will be refunded to you.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, step on back this afternoon. We're going to be talking about the Divas match. Hey, look, just please come back this afternoon and download it. We'll figure out something to make it worth your while.
That we might pay you for.
No, we won't. So maybe just stop them back later.
2 cents?
Yeah.
Buffalo nickels?
We're out.